producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Everybody, welcome to another version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. First of all, once again, congratulations to the Kansas City Royals. I know we have a lot of people listening to us in the Midwest and in Kansas, in fact, who are big Royals fans. And the Royals beat the Mets 7-2 over the weekend. They picked up two games over the weekend, and they did the final damage in 12 innings, extra innings. They came back out of the hole again to win and to win the World Series. Eric Hosmer, it's amazing what he was able to do as he, again, caused everything to break open. And it's, you know, it's interesting when you look at the Royals and how many people were, not counting them out, but how many people were saying, oh, small market team, and what's Major League Baseball going to think of that? And I say bravo to them for doing what they had to do to come back. And this guy, Hosmer, man, if he could get his bat on the ball and if he could scramble, he moved around those bases like you would not believe. Coming up on the show, taking you back to a couple of big moments here on America Tonight. One, we just celebrated, sadly, the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Amazing to think. It seems as though it happened just yesterday, but not quite. You know, we're talking 10 years ago for Hurricane Katrina, and we had a great conversation with Jared Bro, who is a native from Louisiana and a crisis communications man, and really knows the stuff on what happened there and how the mayor muffed it up, and the mayor did not evacuate until it was too late in New Orleans. But, of course, other areas have been evacuated, and we know what happened after that. And he talks about marshes and how the marshes would actually drop the tidal surge should there be some other hurricane that hits New Orleans, and that there aren't people listening to that because it's all about raising money to make it happen. And that's one of the things that's been discussed in New Orleans, but kind of reluctantly. And he goes a little bit deeper into that. And then we have Van Hip on with us, who has ties to both with an distinguished Army and Navy career. And he talks about the North Korean threat that we had earlier in the year, and how Kim Jong-un is someone that you cannot take lightly, and that we had better be careful with what's happening on the terrorism front, because we see what's going on certainly with ISIS. And then a conversation with Spencer Duckoff, who was a classmate of Allison Parker's, who was killed tragically with her cameraman, if you remember, in Virginia. It was a disgruntled former employee of the station who walked up to the pair and somebody that they were interviewing from the Tourism Bureau and shot them right there on camera, stunning the people back at the station. And, of course, anybody at all who had seen that footage, and it was incredibly just gut-wrenching and so awful and sad. And then he killed himself. And as Spencer talks about Allison and what she was like at school when they were in college together, you know, so often, and I say this to me on America Tonight, the thing that annoys me and kind of gets me a little furious at times, depending on what the story is that we forget the victims. And this woman had a full life. She was set to be married and had lots of friends and was working at this station where she was close to lots of people, as you often are in small markets, and in fact was from the area and had family there. And you could see her father was doing interviews, and it was really tough on the family. Of course, it would be tough on any family. It was a blindsiding, cowardice thing that again happened and stunned anybody who watched it, and especially there were people watching it live, and I don't think the station knew what was happening, quite what was happening, until it happened, and nobody could have intervened, or unless somebody had seen him and there was nobody around. He came up and the light was in everybody's face, and then, you know, sadly the rest is history. And they're doing a lot at James Madison to advance that. They're going to do a scholarship, and they've raised a lot of money in that direction, and bravo to the fiance and the father for trying to raise awareness. And boy, just unbelievable. Because I'm all about nuggets and records, I want to tell you about this one. We just went through a Sunday night football game where Peyton Manning tied Brett Favre's record for most wins by a quarterback. You know what that is? 186. Can you imagine the game of football and 186 touchdowns? Can you wins rather? Can you imagine that? Incredible. So the 29-10 win over the Green Bay Packers put him and the career he's having in epic company, matching Favre, like I said, for most wins by a quarterback in league history. So certainly he will break that record and then, you know, own that record. And it's funny because the Broncos really have been pretty much relying on their defense, which is incredible, to grind out some of the wins in this season, because Manning's arm strength is of course falling off a little bit, and he's had some problems with turnovers. He's thrown 11 interceptions and only 7 touchdowns in the season. But you know what? At 39, he's managing to get the job done and doing it for the Broncos, said that they're in the position that they're in. And if it's the defense that's lifting him up, you know, so be it, because the guy has had a phenomenal career. There's no question about it. You know, it must be interesting to be a member of the Manning family. Can you imagine the conversations? I'm sure like anybody else, but they have so much history when it comes to the NFL, whether you're talking about the father, Archie, and his years with the Saints, or you're talking about Eli Manning, or, you know, big brother Peyton Manning. It just must be something to see these guys talk football when they're alone, just together, and they're not being necessarily interviewed or whatnot. And obviously they have a good sense of humor. You can see that from so many of the commercials that they end up doing together, and they're pretty darn funny, I have to say. So Manning tying the record for the most NFL wins, and will surpass that, I'm certain, at some point in the season, barring some injury or something crazy happening. I can't see that he won't do that. So anyway, sit back and relax. And don't forget, coming up on Tuesday, I want to remind everybody of this, coming up on Tuesday, we have Nailed the Score. You don't have to like football, but it's about picking a side and then giving us a score. And if you win, you win a computer, which is pretty cool. It's a laptop, but it's a laptop that also is detachable. So then you've got a tablet with it, boy, you don't want to miss out on that. So you could be the lucky winner. Tuesday, second hour, final segment. Keep these numbers handy. 855-266-5283. Hang on. More coming your way next.
Young people are supposed to be full of energy and recover quickly from exercise. Their age should give them a great advantage to feeling good all the time. However, young people of today are dealing with the same nutrient-deficient food as everyone else in America. So it does not matter whether you are 15 or 85. If your biochemistry is off, you cannot feel your best. Listen to the real-world results of James.
My name is James Ashley. I'm 25 years old. At the end of a tiring work shift, I used not to do much around the house. Since I started taking the new technology-enhanced One World Way after work, I have so much energy when I get home. that I'm able to take long walks, do chores, and even honey the do list from the wife. It's plenty enough energy to get things done around the house and time to settle down before bedtime. This whey protein gives me outstanding amount of long-lasting feel-good energy. I'm astonished of how great this product makes me feel.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to be joined by Van Hipp. He is the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Army and the former principal, it's a mouthful, his resume is incredible, former principal deputy counsel, general counsel of the U.S. Navy. So a little Army, a little Navy. I could ask about Army-Navy games. What does he decide on those? Because I bet a lot of people ask him. He's also the author of The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It. Love, love that title. Van, thanks so much for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Kay, thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
So North Korea, we look at North Korea, and actually part of the Republican debate, some of foreign policy came up, and that was kind of shoved aside, you know, looking at North Korea and Kim Jong-un. But how fearful should we be of this guy and what North Korea is capable of doing?
Big time. He's much more unstable than his father and his grandfather. They were pretty unstable. I like to say, in addition to a bad hairdo, the guy's got some very serious mental health challenges. But I got to tell you, it's his missile technology combined with his nuclear technology to make this such a threat to America. I actually reveal in my book how the Iranians were on the ground in 2012 helping the North Koreans with their missile test and their nuclear test. And what's so sad, this has been largely ignored by the national media when they looked at this Iran deal. There's a real clear link between Iran and North Korea. And but I got to tell you, if you notice, every 6 months, Kim Jong-un is always firing a missile. That missile is known as the Taipodong missile. And over the years, he's been lessening its weight, extending its range, getting dangerously close to being able to hit the continental United States.
Yeah, and as you said, he's unstable. So you have no doubt that, I mean, you know, we can shove this aside. Oh, that's North Korea. But they are totally capable of taking that action, and he could be the guy to do it.
Let me tell you, and I've documented in my book, The New Terrorism, How to Fight and Defeat It, 5 nuclear tests we know right now he's already undertaken, combined with this missile technology. And here's another point, Kate, and I talk about this in the book. very strong evidence he already has an electromagnetic pulse nuclear warhead. If you've got that, you could take out the grid of probably at least half the country. And that is a very real and serious threat to America. I tell people, if you don't believe what I say, then listen to NASA. NASA says it is inevitable in the next 10 to 100 years that we're going to have a Carrington event, the geomagnetic storm on the face of the sun, which in effect would do the same thing. It would fry the grid. So this is a very real threat to this country.
Yeah, so what do you think we should be doing that we are not doing right now?
Where do you start? First of all, we've got to define the threat for what it is. Radical Islam is the greatest threat we're facing. They're here in this country. Make no mistake about it. And you know, the FBI director himself says he's got open files on all 50 states of America looking at people with potential connections to ISIS. But when you look at the growth of radical Islam, and then you combine North Korea and Russia and China, put all this in with it, whoever we elect as commander-in-chief is going to face the most complex situation from a foreign policy and national security standpoint a U.S. president has ever faced. But bottom line, we got to secure our borders. We need real missile defense. We have no land-based missile defense on the East Coast. And cybersecurity, we are the most unprepared for cyber warfare of any threat facing America.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially on cyber, and you knew way more about me than that, but I've done enough of investigating into it and talked to enough people. And this is what I don't understand. If we're the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we can move mountains, so to speak, in all kinds of directions, why are we sitting on our hands when it comes to these things? And especially, let's just take the last thing, cybersecurity.
Yeah. You know, it's almost as if I say, and I believe this, that today is a much more dangerous world than it was the day after 9/11. Technology is changing so quickly, but our government is so stovepiped and lacks the ability to analyze, adapt, and respond quick enough. So it's as if as the technology increases, the threats are increasing exponentially.
Wow. Yeah. Analyze, adapt, and respond. You mentioned Iran and Iran's relationship with North Korea. What do you think about this Iran deal? That's a wide-open softball for you.
Well, it is, and I can tell you it's a bad deal. I'm afraid it's going to come back to haunt this country. You know, I mean, even on the Ayatollah's official Twitter account last week, he was calling America the great Satan, saying that Israel would not exist in 25 years, and we're going to deal with this terrorist regime, and that's what it is. They've been behind a number of the cyber attacks on our financial institutions. But here, more than anything else, in addition to giving them $150 billion to continue terrorist activity with, here's what makes no sense to me. We're going to let them continue with intercontinental ballistic missile development at some point. What are ICBMs used for? To deliver payloads, nuclear payloads, biological payloads. When you look at that, and you consider the fact that we have no land-based missile defense capability on the entire East Coast of the United States, that's all I need to know. So it was all about a deal to get a deal rather than doing a deal in the best interest of the American people.
Yeah, so having said all that, and you look at the military, and it seems like, if anything, we're dismantling our military. Big mistake, huh?
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, we've cut the U.S. Army to pre-World War II levels. We now have more admirals than we've got ships. What kind of message does that send to a thug like Putin? And then we're surprised that he goes to the Crimea. We're surprised that he's threatening to go in the Baltic. We're surprised that he's trying to protect his investment in Assad in Syria. All thugs, communist, terrorist, all they understand is strength. And unfortunately, we're sending all the wrong messages.
Yeah, and that's not a Democratic-Republican thing. It's you understand this from where you started and your career. It's about the reality of what the landscape is, right?
It is, and I tell people the reason, I mean, you know, we all get caught up in a lot of things, but we need to remember the reason we have a federal government, its primary purpose, the reason the states came together in the first place was to provide for the common defense of the American people. First and foremost, that's why we have a government, to keep America safe.
Yeah, and somebody said that last night. That's the biggest thing in the debate somebody mentioned. I can't remember off the top of my head. But when you look at where we are, and of course, you know, we do have an election coming up, how worried are you as far as the politics of it all is, you know, we're looking at, is considered?
I'm concerned. I do believe that 2016 will be the most important election of our lifetime. The fact that we've survived the last 6.5 years of this, I think, is a miracle and a testament to the resiliency of the American people. But, Kay, I don't believe we're going to get another chance. I think this is the last chance to save this country. And there are a lot of side issues in this campaign. The first and foremost, the main issue we need to be focused on, who can be commander-in-chief on day one and keep us safe so we can remain free. That is first and foremost the issue. And we just announced we've got Wofford College in South Carolina and the South Carolina Republican Party on October 15th will sponsor the first presidential forum, commander-in-chief forum, exclusively devoted to that issue. Who is ready to be commander-in-chief on day one? And this is long overdue. It's needed. And it's going to be very interesting to see which candidates come and which candidates dodge it.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what happens there either. So because you have both, and I made the joke in the beginning, but because you have both the Army and the Navy background, that has to be pretty interesting. What are the biggest differences between the two branches?
I got to tell you, I was a deputy assistant secretary of the Army. I had run the mobilization office. And how I got there, Dick Cheney had called me into his office. He was mad at the Navy on something. I didn't realize it at the time how mad he was. He said, I want you to go to the Navy and be the Principal Deputy General Counsel of the Navy. And I said, well, you know, Mr. Secretary, I really enjoy working for the Army. And Dick Cheney looked at me, and, you know, he doesn't have much of a sense of humor. He looked at me, he says, one day you will thank me. He said, very few people have ever had senior management experience in the Army and the Navy. I said, yes, sir, I'm looking forward to going to the Navy.
Yeah, no kidding. And people forget that. People forget, I mean, there's massive issues you have to deal with when you're the general counsel, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. In fact, I had to approve all wiretaps, things like that, drug issues, counter-narcotics, you name it, so many issues that get involved there. But I had that Army experience having run the mobilization office where I had to learn a little bit about everything that you need to go to war. So
wow.
I've got a few gray hairs.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Hey, last one. You know, your book, The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It. Was it tough when you were writing it? I bet you there's volumes you could put together, probably three series. So it was probably tough to decide what to leave in, what to leave out, was it?
It was a tough book, but, you know, I got to tell you, I was wanting to write a book, and I talked to an old friend of mine who worked for Ronald Reagan, and he says, what we need with your background is a book, and let me tell you, you won't find another book like this, a book that looks at the totality of the threats to the country and what we've got to do to keep America safe. So it took a few years to write this thing, and in such a way that it would remain current and relevant, and it is. And the one thing I got to say, and I want to thank the National Guard, too, 100% of all the proceeds are going for scholarships for children of fallen guardsmen, and the National Guard Education Foundation, Kate, is actually administering the scholarships, not taking a dime in fees or costs. It really is going on to all of these kids, and people can get it on Amazon, or they can go to thenewterrorism.com.
All right, awesome. I love that. Van Hipp, don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. people who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach, who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to BrightsideBend.com. That's BrightsideBend.com.
$10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Katrina and what has happened in the wake of Katrina. And we're very fortunate to catch up with this guy, Jared Breaux. We've had him on before. He's a terrific crisis communications expert. And Jared, you are, I think, a native, right, of New Orleans, certainly of that area of Louisiana. And this was the horrific thing that happened to you and the people around you. And take us back to that day and what it was like those couple of days.
Well, the thing that strikes me in the crisis communications field is that everybody should have known what was going to happen, and I had actually predicted this storm flooding scenario 15 years before it ever happened. So at that time, a lot of us were just dumbfounded to watch that the mayor of New Orleans was not calling evacuations. All the other communities were calling evacuations when they needed to, and this guy wasn't, and he waited until it was too late. He was the classic prediction, and what that created was the human tragedy. tragedy of hundreds of thousands of people left in their homes when many of us knew the city was going to flood because levees would be overtopped with water. A 15-foot levee does not hold back a 20-foot surge of water. And I don't know how much people realize, but when a hurricane comes in, it causes the entire sea level to rise up like a vacuum cleaner sucking water. And you end up with this massive amount of water that's 20 to 30 feet high. So in the New Orleans area, in many places, it was 20, 25 feet. In Mississippi along the Gulf Coast, it was actually 30 feet high. Mm. So it all flooded, and then we just watched that human tragedy unfold on TV.
For you, what happened to you personally? Were you in the middle of that? Did you get your family out?
I got my family out days before because I knew exactly what was going to happen. As a former storm chaser and as the guy who had first predicted the scenario in 1990, I knew immediately what was going to happen. I remember vividly 4 o'clock on September 26th and the storm hit. On August 26th. The storm hit on August 29th. But at 4 o'clock, I came home and my wife says, "Do you know about this hurricane?" I said, "Yeah, I've been watching it. It's supposed to go to Florida." She says, "A friend of ours just called and says the course has changed." And I looked at it and I knew immediately that this was the storm that I had reported on or predicted, and my heart sunk. I remember just this gut-wrenching feeling, knowing that I might lose everything. Now, I did not live at that time directly in the city. I was about 30 miles outside the city in a more elevated area that wasn't going to flood, but that had lots of trees that were going to crush everybody's homes. I knew how many of my friends I had in the city, and I knew every one of them was going to flood. We put our own personal plan in place. You grab your family photos and the kids' home movies and whatever's precious to you, and you pack up the car, and I was actually on the road heading to Florida where I knew I was going to wait out what would probably be the next 10 to 20 days of my life because I knew I wasn't coming home anytime soon.
Wow.
But it was tough for me because I knew so many people were going to suffer and there wasn't anything I could do about it.
No kidding. Did you try to tell any of your friends? Did anybody listen to you?
Well, my friends used to actually call me to find out if I'm evacuating, then it's bad enough that they would evacuate. So I was the barometer for a lot of my friends. But I did call friends and tell them, get the heck out of the way. I always book hotel rooms in multiple cities so that I know where I might have to run to. So I was able to give away hotel rooms that I had booked once I picked my path of evacuation. But so many people in the city directly just were not going to move. Too many people say in life, well, I went through Hurricane Frederick and I was fine for that one and I'll stay for the next one. And what people don't realize is no two storms were alike. With Hurricane Katrina, people don't realize if the eye of that storm had gone 5 to 10 miles further to the east, the devastation would have been doubled in metropolitan New Orleans.
Oh.
A lot of New Orleans flooded, but a lot of the metro area was spared from the rooftop-type flooding only because that storm veered slightly to the east. So no two storms were alike, and one of the things people need to realize, because right now we're in the two highest peak weeks of hurricane season, is it is easier just to leave. Yes, it's a financial strain to pay for a hotel and to drive out of town, but the suffering that you endure for the lack of creature comforts when you stay behind is just pretty unbearable.
Wow, well said. We're speaking with Jared Breaux, and he went through this. He went through Katrina. He's a crisis communications expert, as we're saying. What about New Orleans now, and will we see the possibility of it flooding again? What have they done? Is it a lot better off now, the city, than it was before?
First, I'll answer the first question. Yes, New Orleans can and will flood again. The highest levee is 32 feet. The lowest is 15 feet. That means you essentially have a 15-foot levee system that a 16-foot wave will overtop. $14 billion has been spent by the government and engineering by the Corps of Engineers for what they're describing as a fortified system. Many people remember levees caving in and falling down and the flooding going for a very long time. My own personal belief is that any time you have a levee overtopped and it's made out of dirt, you're going to have a degree of scouring, and flooding is and will happen again. But one of the things that concerns me is, as they've spent that $14 billion, there's a natural solution that they haven't taken advantage of, and that is restoring coastal marshes. Louisiana and New Orleans is a big delta from the Mississippi River formed over tens of thousands of years, and we've been having a problem with erosion because the Mississippi River is dammed and levied. Water on an annual basis doesn't flow into those wetlands, which is what naturally created them. So since 1927 floods and levees built in the 30s, those marshes have been dying at a rate of 33 football fields a day. And I would really like to see a concerted effort to put these marshes back in place for this one reason. 3 miles of vegetated wetlands, grasslands in the swamp, cut the friction of a storm and will drop tidal surge by 1 foot. So 60 miles of wetlands, as a storm would move over that, it's like sandpaper slowing that storm down, grinding it down. A 20-foot tidal surge can be reduced to just a few feet. So therefore, the amount of water pressure hitting up against those levees can be reduced. And the secret is to pump sediments from the bottom of the Mississippi River into those wetlands, and you can rebuild those acreages pretty quickly. I've watched it done in some pilot projects.
Why isn't it being talked about more? Is it just a lack of knowledge or wanting to mess with it, or what's the reason why?
A lot of talk has happened, but no funding has happened. It's not the kind of bright, shiny thing that anybody wants to put money on. They were very eager to build massive concrete walls that are very visible to the public, but they were not as eager. And then you've got competing organizations. You've got commercial fishing. Our state is second only to Alaska in the amount of fish caught in America. Mm. So fishing waters have changed, and fishermen will be impacted. So they don't want an immediate impact. And one of the things that has to be done is you have to treat these fishermen the way you treat farmers in Iowa who might be affected by a crop loss. You're going to have to provide some type of financial compensation. I know people don't like to write checks for things like that. But here's the way I look at this from the big picture. It cost $80 billion for the government to respond to Katrina, and it cost, I think, $150 billion for insurance companies to respond, and it cost hundreds of billions more for each of us to do the repairs. So we're looking at about a $400 billion impact if you were to calculate what we took out of our pockets to repair our homes, because, you know, my insurance company cheated me out of $100,000, $150,000, and I know it happened to many other people. So if we look at how much can we spend to reduce a $200 to $300 to $400 billion impact, then it becomes very smart to say, you know what, a few million dollars can create land. And I say a few in comparison to billions. But you can recreate land, you can compensate the fishermen for the temporary loss, and, you know, the scientists know it can be done, but then sometimes environmentalists fight it because they're afraid of pollutants. And while, yes, you've got to be concerned about pollutants, wetlands remove pollutants from the water. Let the ecosystem heal itself and let that ecosystem not only nourish the fisheries for the fishermen in the future, but also protect the infrastructure, because New Orleans is one of the largest ports in the world to this day. It's vital to the economy of the U.S., and 32 states drain their water right down that river into our watershed. So it's a national issue that's been talked about but has not been funded.
Well, it's time to get that funded. There's no question about that. Jared Breaux, fascinating information. Thanks for sharing your story and forwarding the story for us, too, as well. We'll talk to you again soon.
And thank you for checking in on us, and thanks for everybody who donated time, talent, and resources and money to help us recover. The city is recovering, and it's stronger than ever, and it's because so many people around the world cared.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jared.
Take care.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeSig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes. Kick some ash.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Tragedy now for a couple of days. It's just awful when I see the beautiful face of Allison Parker just turning 24 years old, and then her friend, 27-year-old Adam Ward, the photojournalist that was with her, and certainly we know what happened in Virginia and all the people and their reaction in the community in and around Roanoke, Virginia, and at WDBJ, and how much she and he were just loved by the people there. I've worked in television newsrooms. We talked about that. It's absolutely depressing what's happened here. But as I said on the show, bringing life to their lives and talking about the kind of people they were, I think, is so important. Spencer Dukoff joins us, and he went to school with Allison Parker. They went to James Madison together, and he graciously is giving us some time here today. Spencer, first of all, sorry for your loss, and I can tell I saw a post that you had, that you had a great time with this woman, and she seemed like she was fun-loving. And is that accurate?
It's very accurate, and thank you for having me. It's definitely a tragedy, but it's nice to be able to pay tribute to someone like Allison in any way that I can.
So tell us how you met Allison at the university, because I thought it was such an interesting story.
Yeah, so I was brand new at James Madison University. I had just moved down to Virginia for my freshman year, and I had just joined an a cappella group, actually, and one of the friends that I'd met through that was a girl named Nina, and Nina just needed some help with a video project that she was working on, so just bopped over to go and help her, and, you know, that's when I first met Allison. And she was just so warm and friendly and, you know, made this project, this school project, so fun. And that was kind of the beginning of our friendship. And, you know, we also were in the same major. So we both majored in the School of Media Arts and Design at JMU. And she was not only a friend, but she was definitely a role model in terms of being a journalist, in terms of reporting the news, you know, being a hard worker. So she's definitely someone that's left a huge impression on my life, even in a very short period of time.
Spencer, how excited was she to get that job, especially where she grew up? As we know, it's so competitive in television news.
Yeah, well, I sadly have not been as in touch with Allison, or hadn't been as in touch with her in recent years. But I know leaving JMU, you know, she had a job lockdown, I believe, before she even graduated. And to be able to go back and be a reporter, you know, in her hometown area, I know that must have been amazing for her. And I got to, you know, we didn't stay as in touch as she went out to the real world, and I was, you know, still at JMU for a little bit. But being able to see just stories popping up on my newsfeed for Facebook, or, you know, just getting to check in every once in a while on social media, seemed like she was really, you know, following her passion and, you know, continuing to be a role model to all of us who kind of wanted to enter into that field as well.
When you heard about what happened, how shocking was that? I mean, it must have just hit you like a ton of bricks.
Definitely. It was very shocking, and, you know, it happened kind of quickly, it felt like. I had just come into work, and, you know, usually I check the news on my phone in the way in, but it was a super crowded subway, so I just ended up, you know, not checking the news that morning. So when I first came into the office, people were already talking about it, but had no idea, you know, I don't think they realized the connection. And, you know, when I saw her on the front, you know, front page of the New York Times website, it was devastating. It was awful. But, you know, it's been really nice to see the outpouring of love and support for her family, for her friends. And, you know, I hope that she, you know, what we're doing right now and what many other people are doing in terms of paying tribute will do her life justice.
Yeah, and you probably heard this, too, that they're going to set up, the television station said almost immediately they were going to set up scholarships in both of their names, which I thought was really something. And I can tell by the time you spent with her in college that the major meant something to her. She went off in the world and did what her major was about. So how awesome is that to have her name still out there helping other people?
It's fantastic. And I've also heard about the School of Media Arts and Design at JMU through the Alumni Association setting up a scholarship in her name as well. So, you know, I would encourage people to donate to her memory. And, you know, she wasn't just, you know, a good friend at JMU, but she was definitely someone who a lot of people looked up to. And so I think it's really wonderful that she can continue to have that influence with people who want to get involved in reporting and journalism in general.
Spencer Dugoff, thanks again so much for your time. Sorry for the loss. Glad that you crossed paths with her. Obviously, she had an impact on your life, and I hope that other people get to hear more stories about her as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so you heard the story there of Spencer talking about Allison Parker and going to James Madison together, and the fact that they accidentally got, you know, they were in the same major, knew each other, but really got to work together and became friends through that. So college friendship, and that was only a handful of years ago, and then what she went on to do. And he wrote just such a moving tribute. It's on Slant News. com, and I'm going to put a link to it on my Facebook. If you go to americatonight.net, you can click on Facebook and you'll see it there, because it's so well said. He talks about, you know, opening his computer and seeing her face on the New York Times website, as he mentioned to us, and saying that a coworker mentioned seeing the news and he was just shocked at what had happened, and then some of the details started to come about and he started to realize more about it, and he talked about the fact that they were in school together and he was helping them on a project and what that was like, the video, and how she was funny, and that he had gotten to know her, and that she was, you know, such a superstar in the making, and she was, as I could tell and had mentioned on the show before, you know, young in the career and absolutely enthralled with what she was doing, and she had that same sense while she was at college, and he talked about that, sitting in the television control room and seeing her, you know, light up on the screen, and that she had gotten a job, as he said, there immediately, and she was already into the profession as soon as she got out of school, and boy, it's just unbelievable in reading more of the details. You know, it's the grief part, and he talks about that. He says we all grieve. There's just too much sorrow to bear from such a senseless act. That's why you can't put it into words. And he said we'd be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity to celebrate her life and be grateful for all that she had given us and the gift of friendship and presence and existence. And it's exactly what I said too often with when someone becomes a victim and it is senseless and it is outrageous, then so much of that story becomes part of it, but not about what that person was with their, even though their time was cut short on earth, who do they touch, what do they mean to people, that kind of stuff. And I think he has such a great point. Giving to the scholarship that JMU set up in her name, I think is something in paying it forward for future people that will come through the university and have a chance at some kind of a career also related to media, the arts, etc. And again, just so well written, and it's so shocking in the conversation afterwards. Not shocking that reporters have been shot at and hurt in the past and that kind of thing, but shocking that somebody was here doing at a local station. Somebody was in Roanoke, Virginia. This woman, Allison Parker, and her friend Adam Ward, the photographer, and they were doing an easy peasy fun report on tourism, and it turns so tragic without any warning, with nothing in their rearview mirror, any way to see or know what was coming, and then everything else that ensued after that. And I'm sure we haven't heard the last of things that will be set up in their names and what people are saying and remembering them, but we certainly appreciate that time that Spencer spent with us, as I know it's got to be pretty tough when you start to wrestle with that. It's always that shocking thing. Somebody you knew at school, somebody you were close to at school, you move on, and it's only just a few years after that happened. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
$10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.